Soul Talk Podcast is your guide to all things wellness. On this podcast, you'll find many episodes with the scope and focus on health, wellness, and life. Welcome to episode 56. This episode is all about the father wound. Some of my personal shared experiences on the father wound, but also what the father wound actually is, how we can identify it in our lives, how it affects our lives, how it affects our relationships, how we feel about ourselves, our fears, emotions, and all of that. And also I touched quite a bit on balancing the inner masculine and the inner feminine, which I've spoke about many times before in different episodes. So thank you for being here. Have a listen. If you want to reach out to learn more or to work with me, I look forward to hearing from you. So I talk about the inner masculine and inner feminine energies on the podcast, I would say quite a bit, in terms of the menstrual cycle and in terms of our energies as we show up in this world, in terms of our ability to rest and set boundaries and all the rest of it. So I want to start this episode with a wee sort of overview on that again, because I'm going to go into how the father wound affects the inner masculine and how that affects us as people and how it affects our lives and relationships and stuff. But before we get stuck in, I want to just kind of explain it a wee bit upfront, because I know it can be quite a confusing concept. So I base a lot of my work on women's wellness, but the inner masculine and the inner feminine is for us all. So no matter who you are listening to this, if you have pressed play on this episode to learn more about father wounds, no matter who you are, male, female, you'll find information and guidance here on how to identify the father wound and how to work on healing the father wound. Some of you might be familiar with my work around the inner masculine and inner feminine energies and phases of the menstrual cycle as well. So that's sort of where I'm talking about my work on women's wellness. But I'm going to talk about this now in a more sort of general way, so that everyone can understand it, and because it does apply to us all. So, you know, there's no perfect human. We all have our shit to deal with. We all have stuff that we carry, even if we aren't aware or conscious of it, which very commonly and unfortunately we're not aware at all of what we're holding in terms of how our mind is programmed, what we're carrying trauma-wise in the body, of our fears, and how our lives in childhood has affected us. There's also no perfect parent. Our parents, when we are brought into the world, are our divine. So the mother would be the divine source of the feminine, and the father would be the divine source of the masculine. And we come into the world as a complete pure source, just, you know, depending fully on these two humans, if the two humans are, you know, if the two humans are hanging about. And so we think that they're perfect and that they can do no wrong and that they can make no mistakes and that they, you know, they're our whole entire world, they're everything. But the reality is that they're just humans. So our parents are just humans who maybe have been parented badly themselves and who maybe didn't get what they needed in their own childhood. And, you know, they haven't had all their needs met, so they cannot meet all of our needs. They can't always show up for us how we need them to, because they only know what they know. They don't, you know, we have our own ideas and our own needs. There's no perfect parents that can raise us perfectly or refrain from instilling their irrational fears on us, etc., etc., and their beliefs and all the rest of it. So let me be clear, just like I stated this in the Mother Wound episode, which I know was related to a new moon, I think, in Pisces, that will be a couple of episodes ago. If you just have a wee scroll back, you'll find a Mother Wound episode. But let me restate it. This episode is also not about blaming or being a victim. It's about giving you the tools and the information to understand, to have whatever realizations or epiphanies that you know you might have or that this might bring up, so that you can heal and bring balance to your life. So, you know, to some degree, we all have father wounds and mother wounds, by the way, you know, because we are, there's no perfect parent. There's no perfect way to parent. There's also no perfect child. So we all have father wounds and mother wounds to some extent. And this stuff is very close to my heart and a huge part of my self-work and a huge part of the work that I do with my clients on a regular basis. So I work through my own father wounds and mother wounds with my mentor also, well, more so myself now. And I have to say also, they never really fully heal, you know, we're always working on them. These wounds are how we've been programmed our whole life, so they're actually our behaviors and our fears and our worries and our anxieties, and they're our inner people pleaser. They become such a huge part of our identity and who we are. So when we work in these wounds, we're really, what we're doing is we're acknowledging through going back, you know, to father wounds to actually repair the wounds, and what we're required to do there is go back to the inner child, and that can be quite hard, quite painful, especially if you are a person who has experienced severe trauma in your childhood. It's not always easy to go back there. So when we work in these wounds, basically we're reprogramming a lifetime of all the stuff that we've stored, of all the stuff that we believe, feel, worry about, have anxiety about, all this stuff that has made us the person that we are. So, and also we program ourselves to deal with what we need to deal with at the time of, you know, what we're going through. So here's some examples. So ADHD. Gabor Maté talks in detail about how it's actually a trauma response to the child keeping itself constantly busy and distracted, so it doesn't have to deal with like constantly arguing parents or whatever chaos or trauma is happening at home or has happened to them in their life. So Gabor Maté believes, and a lot of his work is all around ADHD and how it's actually not just a trauma response. So Gabor Maté believes that it's a coping mechanism. He believes that ADHD is developed in a child as a coping mechanism to deal with their external environment so that they can keep their internal environment you know, their emotions and everything in check and sort of like switch off and, you know, not have to focus on anything and not have to be with themselves because everything that might come up for them might be too painful, for example. So they constantly keep themselves busy, 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 busy. You know, they can't concentrate on things for long because they've just been constantly used to distracting themselves from the pain at home or the pain in their lives. People pleasing as well is another example. People pleasing is basically our inability to say no, our inability to set boundaries. So this can come from always wanting to make sure everyone around you is okay so that you can be okay. So always wanting to make your parents happy so that they will always see you and praise you, acknowledge you, love you. You know, a lot of us have been programmed to believe, even if it's not true, that we can only get love if we like make our parents really happy and basically show them, you know, how amazing we are and that we deserve a place in this world. You know, we all deserve a place in this world. That's why we're here. So as I said, we all have mother wounds and father wounds and or both. We all do in some way, shape or form. So this episode isn't about victim blaming. It isn't about putting down our parents. We need to realize and acknowledge that our parents are people. Just as I said earlier in the episode, they're just humans, just like us, and humans get it wrong. So, whether this episode is about acknowledging ourselves and our wounds, rather this episode is about acknowledging ourselves and our wounds, our triggers, and it's also about moving forward on our journey of healing so that we can, one, let go of what isn't ours, because we very often can take on the beliefs of our parents, and that shapes who we are and what our beliefs are and what our stance on life is. Two, to unlearn what we've learned that holds us back. Three, release limiting self-beliefs. Four, heal our relationships. And five, change patterns and cycles in our lives and what we attract into our lives. So back to the inner feminine and masculine just for a moment. So the inner feminine is the feminine energy, the divine mother. It's our relationship with the mother and how that impacts our life. The inner feminine and that mothering energy is all about self-love, and it's our nurturing side. So it's the energy of going with your flow and stepping into your intuition and trust. The feminine is the water element. So too much water is also not good, because too much water means emotional imbalance and oversensitivity. The inner masculine is the masculine energy then, and that's the divine father. It's all linked and related to our self-worth, our ability to take action, how we take action, how we show up, practicality. It's being the creator. So it's the energy of getting things done and making things happen. It's linked with our productivity. Masculine energy is the fire element. And again, too much of that is not a good thing. So too much fire equals anger, frustration, and shows up as inflammation in the body. So that can result in a lot of actual physical pain as well. So it's rare that we'll have both our feminine and masculine sides balanced. Usually there's an imbalance with the feminine and masculine energies to some extent, where we'll be too much in one than the other, rather than having a nice healthy balance of both. So let's talk about the father wound. So our relationship with our biological father informs our relationship to the inner masculine, also known as the inner animus. So the relationship with our fathers impacts our relationship to the divine masculine source itself. So it affects all relationships in our lives and how we show up in our inner masculine and feminine. And how we are in our romantic relationships as well. So there's a book called Sex Priestess by Nadine Lee. So it's a great book that I'd really recommend. It talks about how when we're born, we're a pure source, and we meet our parents. I've mentioned this slightly earlier. when we meet our parents as mother and father, but we see them as like this divine masculine and divine feminine source and energy, just complete purest form, purest love. So I think this is a really important point, because back to what I was saying, you know, we're tiny innocent babies in our purest form, and these two people have brought us into the world and they are our creators, protectors, the ones who show us love, the ones who guide us and protect us, or at least that's what we seek from them. So as we get older, unfortunately, we actually begin to see them as the humans that they are, who make mistakes, and that can make us feel very let down. It can make us very, very confused. It can make us feel unsafe, unseen. It's a lot to take in, because, you know, we went from thinking that this person absolutely has completely got their shit together and they're the absolute light of our lives, and then we're like, oh, okay, right. And a lot of roles change, you know. You sort of, as the person, you know, you sort of become, as the daughter or the son, sorry, you sort of become then in a lot of homes and a lot of families, the roles can start to really shift, and you can, you know, become the mother or father of your mother or father almost, you know, from a role perspective. So our sense of self-worth as well, this comes from the father. So it's our first imprint of male love, also what we kind of seek from the father, and the father role is protection and guidance and clarity and safeness and the ability to provide financially and the ability to, you know, stand up for us and the ability to just always, yeah, like protect us and make sure that we are always okay. So when there's an absent father or one who isn't fully in the father role, it gets to a point where we have to be our own inner father. So we experience in that scenario, in those different cases, divine father distortion. So think of the classic story of the girl falling for her therapist or guru. You know, they're falling in love with what they lack and didn't get from their father or the father role in their life. And in relationships, this transpires to be drawn to unavailable men. You know, men who give us breadcrumbs, men who are emotionally unavailable, men who treat us like crap, men who don't value us, men who, I'm speaking as from a female perspective, who would be in male relationships. This can also apply to men who attract men. So, you know, we basically draw in exactly what we want and seek from that father role that we never got. So, you know, this idea of daddy issues, you know, is actually a real thing. You know, it's wanting that strong male role in your life. And when that distorted connection with the divine masculine is present, then we attract in these unavailable men, toxic relationships, you know, this real lack of self-worth and self-value. And that's where a lot of women go down, you know, end up in a scenario where they can be sleeping around with a lot of men, having a lot of sex with a lot of different men, because they need that male connection and they want to be loved and they think that this is the only way that they can get it. So our relationship with our father informs our inner masculine as a woman. So if you were to think about what qualities you're continuously attracting, you know, what are the themes? Look at your relationships. What are you calling in? What are you accepting? What repeat patterns are occurring? You know, if you were to look at your current partner now compared to, you know, your ex and the one before him and the one before him, are they the same? You know, are you happy? Do you want something different? Do you want to attract something different? Or maybe like me, you've got to the point where you've attracted a really strong masculine partner into your life, who has a lovely balance of the feminine and masculine energies, because you've done the work. You know, I'm always, and you're always doing the work. But the work that I've done over the years in terms of inner child work, shadow work, and, you know, my relationship with my biological father, and all of that I've had to do by myself. But all of that has shown me that I have been attracting men into my life who treat me like shit, who are so unbelievably toxic, who don't respect or value me, who don't see me, who don't get me, who don't understand me, who are emotionally unavailable, and just sit and actually go, right, we are never, ever, well, I am never, ever attracting that type of man into my life ever, ever again. This is the type of man I want. I remember writing it all out. And just making sure that I done as much inner work as I possibly could to make sure that I never, ever, ever attracted some romantic relationship into my life again that just give me breadcrumbs. And there, you know, and to jump in head first as well, and you know, the love bombing and the being so in love at the start, and the, you know, the being so obsessed with each other at the start, you know, kind of like, no, that's also not a good thing, because it's nice to take your time and actually get to know someone. Otherwise you end up trauma bonding with someone. And yeah, that's a whole other thing. But I would encourage you to look at what you're attracting in, and what is your partner like, or what would you like your partner to be like. You know, look at your relationships, look at what you're accepting, looking at repeat patterns. So the father wound and our experience of our relationship with our father, or the lack of relationship with him, dictates the following: neediness, clinging, so that desire, really desperately wanting someone that is so emotionally unavailable, you know, worrying that we're gonna lose them, and really clinging to something, and not even just in relationships, by the way, but in general, you know, neediness, clinging, also cravings, you know, and that can turn into cravings of any description, cravings of drugs, cravings and addictions of drugs, alcohol, sex, shopping, chocolate, you know, just anything that makes us feel good, because anything that we're craving, we're not craving the substance or the thing, we're craving how it makes us feel. So, you know, to be really needy and really clingy is to be totally not in your power. It's just completely giving your power away, and it's basically screaming, I am so unhappy and discontent in myself right now that if I don't have that thing or that person, I'll never be happy. It also shows up and dictates our ability to set healthy boundaries. So, you know, like, if we are happily feminine and masculine, energy balanced, our boundary setting is quite clear and straightforward because we're more assertive. But our inabilities to set boundaries is a clear indication that there's a father wound. You know, when we don't set boundaries because we want to people please, because we're too afraid to lose people or show them that we can't do the thing that they want us to do, or we don't want to let people down because we're used to, as I mentioned earlier, always being in a position where if they're happy, I'm happy. If the external's happy, the internal, I can be happy. Well, that's a big red flag as to helping you change your stance on boundary setting, which is it's a very hard thing in general anyway, especially, you know, to learn how to do that in a positive way. So reach out to me as well on any of this if you want to work with me in workshops or a one-to-one basis, and I'll I can chat to you further about what I've got coming up or availability for one-to-ones. It also affects our decision-making abilities. This is also linked to the mother wound. It dictates and affects our relationship with money as well. And, you know, you hear this thing about money blocks. You know, again, it's all about our self-worth and our self-value and, you know, how we manage our money all comes through that, and how we feel about, for example, even charging for services or products as well, is all linked to the father wound. Our sense of safety and protection is another thing. Another thing that I've mentioned is attracting emotionally unavailable men. But another thing is hypermasculinity. So this can show up. Hypermasculinity is one that was very, very prominent in my life, and that I would say I'm still very much working through. I noticed that with my daddy, my biological father, I was always trying to impress him by telling him that I was going hiking up the Mourns, and I was running a marathon, and I'd done a 20-mile run, and you know, all these really, and I always got a lot of praise from him about stuff like that. And that always drove me to keep doing more, because it, obviously on some subconscious level, I was getting praise for doing all these really, really hyper-masculine things. And what that, and that's been from a young age. You know, I used to go running with my daddy, and we used to do quite like masculine things. Obviously, I mean, I'm not putting him down for that, because I'm sure he just didn't want to play Barbies with me. But my whole life up until the last couple of years has been, you know, me hiding away from being still and being in my feminine, and not just my relationship with my daddy, by the way, but loads of other things in my life have made me be this very, very hyper masculine energy person, you know, always doing, not able to rest, not aware of my inability to rest. I didn't know how to rest. I didn't like resting unless I was sleeping. I always had to be go, 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 doing something, productive, you know, to basically measure the success of how I spent my time. And that's really leaving me a lot lately, which I'm grateful for, because I've been working very hard to make that happen. But hypermasculinity is definitely one. And basically what we're saying without saying it when we're being hypermasculine, as in hyperactive and, you know, constantly on the go and constantly at the gym and constantly doing X, Y, and Z, is because what we're saying there is, I don't know how to be alone with myself. You know, I don't want to feel anything that comes up. I just want to keep going. And there's nothing wrong going to the gym, by the way, and there's nothing wrong with being active and exploring the outdoors. I love, love, love all that, and I love yang yoga, you know, and it releases endorphins, and it's really, 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 really good for our mental health. But it's just about getting a balance, so that we can actually learn the value of rest and learn how to be comfortable just existing, just being, just with ourselves. So that's a nice practice. You know, there's some nice somatic practices that I work through in my classes and my workshops with my clients on a one-to-one basis. Breath work can help, yoga can help, any essential like activities to, like, even belly dancing and stuff. I've actually never done belly dancing. I'd love to try it. But just to kind of like soften that hyper masculine approach and bring us more into our bodies, are some of the ways that we can help to just release that. So some different things to think about are, you know, who was your father around? Do you feel safe in your relationships? Did your father provide for your family? Did he protect you and your family? And, you know, just to sort of recap as well, some things that you could look at, that you should look at, are, you know, this neediness and clinging. You know, when we no longer need a man, we become a woman. So letting go of that needy little girl, because it's not you as this adult, it's the wounded inner child. When we do this and we work on this, we experience a healthy union, so an equal power dynamic in a relationship rather than codependency. So, you know, expecting him to be your father, expecting him to give you all the things that your father never gave you. And this is the same for a man who hasn't healed his father or mother wound. And the same for, I mean, do you ever date a guy who's just really, really indescribably needy and clingy? It is the most unattractive thing ever. And this is him showing you that he hasn't healed his mother wound and expects you to be his mother. You want to look at your boundaries as well. You know, what was your father's boundaries like when you were growing up around you dating? What was his attitude? Was he protective? What are your boundaries as an adult around dating? Can you set more healthy boundaries in general? Fathering yourself is one that I want to just go back to as well. You know, when we're fathering ourselves, we are protecting and keeping ourselves safe. We are providing for ourselves. You know, we are managing our relationship healthily with money. And, you know, there's not as much impulsiveness or careless spending as such. Yeah, and then hypermasculinity. So, you know, basically needing what we didn't get from our father. So we project what we needed but we didn't get. So, you know, being the overdoer. I can do it myself, you know, won't ask for help. And this hypermasculinity as well can very much get very, very, very toxic, because it can get to the point where you are repulsed by men, or it can get to the point where you very much have an I don't need a man attitude, and therefore you're still in your very, very distorted masculine, and it completely blocks the capacity for you to meet someone or be happy in a relationship where it can be that equal power dynamic. So an example of a very personal example of my father wound that has come up through my healing journey. When I was in primary school, my mother reminded me of this in my adult life. So when I was in primary school, I call her mummy, but I know that's quite weird for some people. She said to me, I told her that I was going on a school trip tomorrow. And she's like, what do you mean you're going on a school trip? I didn't get a form. I haven't paid for anything. I didn't hear anything from the school. There was nothing in your school bag. Like, what are you talking about? And I was like, no, I paid for it myself. And I would do this a lot. Like, growing up, I would never ask mommy for money. I was always very, very, very hyper independent. I always was really good saver. I always saved up. I always, like mommy said, I used to always shout at my brothers for like asking for money and stuff. Cause like obviously growing up as a kid and with living in, you know, with my daddy living in a different house and mommy meeting a new partner and raising two sons with him, and me kind of maybe feeling in a way that I was in the way growing up for many different reasons, even though that's not true, but that's how I programmed it. And so by paying for my own stuff and not being a financial burden to my mummy, I was basically compensating for my existence. You know, I would have heard mummy say different things about the expenses of school uniforms and things like that, and so basically I felt the need to compensate for my existence and relieve the financial pressures from my mummy as a very, very young child. You know, I mean, she didn't endorse this, by the way, but she always caught me out doing it. And you know, but yeah, so I think I'm going to leave it there. I do have some lovely somatic practices, lovely journaling exercises, and different things that I can offer you in workshops. I will be putting on a workshop for the father wound, whether it be online or in person, I'm not sure. Keep an eye on my socials, keep an eye on the podcast. And my website is going to be launched hopefully within the next month or so. So keep an eye on that too. I think it's going to be www.wildflow.co.uk. And in the meantime, if you would like any one-to-one support or anything like that, please reach out and I would love to work with you. So yeah, thank you so much. Look after yourself.